October 8 in Canada, class included, a four-year-old filly by include, won the grade 3 $100,000 ballerina stakes. Bred in Kentucky by Michael and Amy Furborn. Class included as 10 wins in 6 seconds from 16 starts. Never been worse than second in her life with 10 wins. And she's won 8 stakes. She is the 4th 2012 graded stakes winner by include. Include Me Out is a multiple grade 1 stakes winner. Redeemed has won the historic grade 2 Brooklyn. And she's all in the grade 360 sales. Earlier grade 1 stakes winners by include are Panty Raid, Her Smile, Cash Included. So who's got 4 grade 1 stakes winners. Include has sired the winners of over $5 million this year. Ranks among the nation's leading sires, just above Bernardini by North American earnings. One of the nation's leading sires includes stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful morning here at the Thoroughbred Center, and a busy morning, too. We ended up, I think, with 76 works this morning, and started real early. I got here right to crack of dawn, 6 o'clock. That's when the track opens, and I tell you, I was unloading the stuff to do the show from the truck, and I came up here with it and left the truck door open because I was going to make another trip. And I couldn't get back down there.
Frank.
I had to stay up here and clock horses, and finally got a little break, and I got to unload it. But, you know, it took me about 20 minutes, you know. I had 8 works within the first 5 minutes. Holly out here, our medic,
she's helping. She's the best ever.
Yeah, she's great, isn't she?
Yeah.
And I don't want to say it too loud. She'll think she. Look at her out there laughing.
I think she needs a raise.
Yeah, okay. I'll double her salary from nothing. Here comes Jack out here going to work something out. Des Fogarty is going to come over at the top of the hour. And he's a trainer here at the Thoroughbred Center. He's a native of Ireland. And an ex-steeplechase rider, so you know he's a little on the nutty side.
Exactly.
So, I'm glad he's coming because he worked too real early. He was one of those who was working real early this morning. And I couldn't understand the Irish accent on one of the names, so we've got a blank spot to fill in there.
Ah.
But I knew he was coming, so we didn't worry. We knew one of them, but not the other. Dr. Byers is not going to make it this morning. Susan, his wife's... Susan wouldn't let him out of the house, and he must have been out chasing other women or something. I was only
I went to the park to chase the young girls.
Yeah, right. Who was it used to say that all the time?
Artie.
Oh, yeah.
Arthur Giles.
Arthur Giles used to work for us, and he was always, I guess Arthur was 70 when he was working for us. And
yeah.
He's always talking about, I was out in the park last night chasing young girls. Anyway, Michael Blowen is here, and we're going to have Steve Moody on to give us the winner of the Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup. I refuse to say QE2.
Thank you.
Sounds like a ship.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
I think Queen Elizabeth II deserves the full pronunciation of her legal name.
Absolutely. Of course, we have Jack.
He's used to saying Your Highness.
Yes.
I've heard him use that around the house.
Yeah, just when I want something. Of course, we'll have Jackie's announcements and do a little Joe Palmer, and I might do a little something on, I don't know, whatever we come around. Okay, let me give you winners this month. We've had October the 12th, we've had 10 winners so far this month. Juan Ruvalcaba had one at Mountaineer, Vladimir first. Raquel Albright, Aiden Sugar, one down at the Mountain. Paul Garcia had a winner at the Mountain. Paul Brown had one with Charming She Is. Won a really nice race out at Keeneland on last Sunday.
We were there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were. We went down to the paddock, and there she was, gutsy, gutsy, gutsy mare.
Oh, yeah, she's real. I've watched that mare train out here. Paul's done a really good job with her.
Yeah.
And she's always
won $73
on a $2 across ticket.
Now that's called picking winners and losers.
Yes.
Well, I found I had a little more guts. I'd have bet a little bit more, but that's the first bet I've made since.
I always bet the last
horse I bet on paid $15.60, and that was Shotgun's old horse out here.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's been 7 or 8 years ago, and finally I. Jackie shook me loose, and I bet $2 across.
Well, the only reason I was
used up your allowance on one bet.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah,
for the year.
Anyway, she ran a really nice race, a nice allowance race.
Oh yeah,
beat some good fillies.
The chart was wrong. There were two grays in there, and it said outrun. It was the second gray horse that was outrun, not her. She wasn't ever worse than fifth. I watched her.
Yeah,
the chart caller called the wrong.
Yeah, she was laying up a little closer than that.
Yeah, the other one was.
She came from off the pace. This is a filly that will run all day. The further she runs, the better she is. And nice filly. Okay, Matt Frazier won two races on the ninth down at Hoosier, both with quarter horses. Then Eduardo Caramori won one on the 10th at Keeneland. The next day, day after that, Eduardo won another one at Keeneland. Last night at Hoosier, Jimmy Cargan won. And also, Matt Frazier won another quarter horse race. So he's won three races in 3 days.
That's great.
Yeah, he trains both thoroughbreds and quarter horses. And this one was, I think, two of the three belong to his dad. They breed them and race them.
Yeah, they're neighbors of ours. They live real close to us.
Leave over on Brentsville down in
Boone. Yeah, you can see their place from our back porch.
Yeah, they do a really...
And nice people.
Really nice people, nice family. And I'm glad to see him doing well. He worked some horses here just a while ago. Worked three of his thoroughbreds.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They all work together.
Yeah, 5/8 of a mile.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Big sale coming up out at Fasig Tiffin. Do you see the size of that sale, Michael? It's Michael
huge.
Owens here, by the way.
Huge.
Yeah.
That book is huge.
And I haven't had a chance to really look through it.
1,254
horses in there.
Yes, holy mackerel. Then you got the November sale at Keeneland coming right out of the tail.
And November sale also at Fasig Tiffin, but I didn't have the. It's later October, but that catalog wasn't out yet when I was over there picking this one up. I picked one up for Doc. Do you think he'd want one?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, take that one.
Okay.
Also, while we're at it, do you have an extra calendar for next year? My friends are in from fox hunting and.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Got one with you? Is the question.
I think I might. I'll look in the car.
Do you have another one of your
magazines? I know I've got magazines in the car because I go around the Keeneland backside like a mad Bible salesman handing these things out.
Oh, we've got some. Okay, good.
Rusty's got them in the file, in the exclusive Horse Tales filing system.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a pile over here.
Is it under the table? It's under the table here somewhere.
Somewhere.
Oh, well, good.
Good, because we gave them ours.
Okay.
Yeah. We said, don't read the one about precision.
I'll make sure I'll remember to bring the calendar in before January 1st.
Well, I've got one calendar at home. But,
yeah.
Yeah, we can give them that one. Huh? And then Michael can bring, not that one, next
the one
year.
At home.
We need another one up for here, too.
Yeah.
Well, let me take a break, and we're going to get back and see what Michael's studying a racing form over. Did you bring your own today?
Yes, I did.
Oh, my God.
Not only did I get today's, but I bought tomorrow's.
Oh, stole two.
I'm supposed to pick my Sunday form up here at the gate when I leave. If they hadn't delivered.
Do they give you one for free at the gate?
I get one at the gate.
Hello, you're funny. You don't look like Ursel. If I beat him to the gate, I get a free form. So I'm just picking it up for Ursel.
There you go.
I got it now. Gives me an extra $7 to start with. $6.50, whatever it is.
So easy for you.
It's another $2 across the board.
All right. Well, Eddington is the size of 5 2012 stakes winners. Three of them graded stakes winners. Secret Circle won the grade 2 half a million dollar rebel stakes at Oaklawn. the Grade 3 Southwest Stakes at Oaklawn. Finished second in both the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby and the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at Santa Anita. Last year, he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Sprint at Churchill and the Jack Goodman Stakes at Santa Anita. He's earned over $1 million. Brushed by a Star has won two stakes this year, including the Grade 2 Molly Pitcher at Monmouth Park. She's earned more than $342,000. And two-year-old Gold Edge has won three of her four starts, including the Grade 3 Arlington Washington Lassie and the Lisa M Stakes, also at Arlington Park. Another current two-year-old by Eddington Note, has placed in the $100,000 Presque Isle Debutante Stakes. And in stakes last Monday, Peace Preserver, a three-year-old filly by Warfront, bred by Cherry Valley Farm and trained by Todd Pletcher, won the $150,000 Pebble Stakes at Belmont Park. Eddington and Warfront both stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Dutcher Howard, our favorite two-year-old.
Two-year-old in training.
A two-year-old in training. I don't know what you can train him to do. He does about everything now. That's Matt Howard's and Crystal Howard's little boy.
I bought him a microphone. He likes to get up here with the microphones.
Oh.
So I bought him a microphone, and it's Sesame Street.
And he didn't like
and
it?
So far, he doesn't like it.
Oh, okay. Maybe he just woke up over there.
Yeah.
He was cleaning house.
Oh, okay.
He was cleaning house.
Now he's getting. We've got two whips here for you now, Dutcher. Somebody
who's the
else
purple one?
We're somebody collecting whips here at the clocker stand because somebody always drops one out here.
That's a girl's whip. Definitely the pink one.
All right. Well, Michael, what's going on over at Old Friend?
Well, we're having a great time, Ursula. Well, a couple of things. First of all, this aftercare program that the NTRA has started is really going to make a substantial difference. I don't know if you read about that this week, but a whole lot of the area farms, along with Keeneland and Basic Tipton and the Jockey Club, are all contributing to this fund for aftercare for the thoroughbreds.
Uh-huh.
There's a really good explanation of it in the Blood Horse and on the Pollock Report.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's
new Blood Horse.
Yes.
Yeah. I've got it here.
It's online. I know it's online in the Blood Horse. It's just an amazing thing to see everybody coming together finally for these great old horses, and I think it's going to make a huge difference to all of us, especially the horses.
Oh.
For example, 13 of the big farms are going to you add up all of their stud fees for all their stallions, and they're going to donate 25% of that amount every year.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. That's exactly right. You know, this is great.
Who's administering it, and how is it going to work?
Well, it's going through the NTRA. I have to give credit to Jack Wolf and to Mike Ziegler and everybody working really hard to pull all this together.
That's a nightmare to pull something like that together.
Yeah, we all know it's hard. You know, it's hard because business has been a little down, so it's hard to, you know, find those extra dollars. But it's just an amazing thing. I don't want to start naming the farms because I'll leave somebody out, but they can go online and see them. But I know a lot of the farms that advertise on this program are in the list.
Oh, I'm sure.
I know Brereton Jones is doing it, and Hillendale, and Windstar. You know, I mean.
Now they're going to get all this money.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the money go?
It goes to us, I hope, old friends and
people that'll take the horses.
Well, first of all, they're going to they're going to go around. They have an inspection team that's going to go around and look at a place, and you have to pass certain tests. It's not like you're just going to, you know, somebody's right. going to call up one day and say, hey, I got a couple of retired horses. Give me money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a very professionally run, and there's going to be an accreditation process. So there's a long process okay. they have to go through.
Okay.
But
and they'll pay a little board on these horses?
Yes.
Yeah. Because when that kind of money floats, here they come. I'll take 27.
I know. That's yeah, exactly. Sure. Yeah. Now everybody's going to want to retire horses. I know. Well, that's it's good if they're competent and they want to and all of that. In fact, I think you should take a couple over your farm. You could have a couple over your farm and actually get some money out of the TAA, Thoroughbred Aftercare Program.
Yeah, we can do it.
I know.
They can go with the ones we've already got.
Retired.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But a lot of the tracks are involved. And, I mean, it's the other thing is it's a way for owners and trainers and sales companies to actually show that racing really does care for these athletes. And it's a unification thing among all these groups. As we all know, over the years, it's been tough to get everybody to on the same page for a lot of this. So it's I think it's a really good step in the right
That's
direction.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Wow.
I wonder if they can get breeders in other states to come up.
Yeah, I think this is the start. I think everybody's going to contribute. I mean, Darley's in on it. I mean, you know, Hill and Dale's in on it. As I say, you know, Brary's in on it.
Yeah, you know, Brary would be.
Yeah, sure. And so it's just been it's been great. And it's a way for them to do it in a regulated fashion. And it helps us enormously, of course, not only the money, but the work it takes just to try and keep the place going with money. If we get yeah. sustained funding, then we know what our budget's going to be, you know, how many horses we can take in. You know, it can be a more, it can just be a more a smoother operation, I think, and it's better for everybody
and
all
the
around.
The NTRA is going to run this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. I think it's the, I think they set up a separate organization called ThoroughbredAftercare.org. And the Jockey Club has been actively involved in the Breeders' Cup right from the beginning, so they're contributing. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned a couple of names that are the guys that are getting this done. I'd like to have them on the show over if you want to bring
great.
Them in.
Great. That would be great.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Be, well, find yeah. out more about it.
Great. Excellent. Yeah. Somebody who actually knows what they're talking about could come in and talk about it. That would
well,
be fabulous.
That would be great. Mm-hmm. Do you know these gentlemen?
Yes. Uh-huh. Sure.
Okay. Well, you know.
All right. I got my assignment.
All yes, right. you
Bring
do.
Them over yeah. And
Dr. Bias made me promise not to give anybody any advice about veterinary matters today.
Oh, no.
I said, I have an idea. I could talk about nasal discharges by my ear. You go, please don't.
Better known as the snot.
Snots?
Yeah, please don't.
Yeah.
Please don't do
discharge.
That.
Discharge. What's that? Snots.
It's what you get when you get out of the nasal. It's an honorable discharge.
Oh, please.
Jeez.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. But here's some other good news. We're going to breakfast at the works next Saturday, so you won't have me to kick around.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're going to bring Sarava. We're going to bring our Belmont winner.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd like to thank Hammond Communications. Hammond Communications has made a DVD for us of his Belmont win and the Belmont coverage. And we're going to be playing that on every TV at Keeneland while people get to gaze
nice.
Their eyes on this
oh,
fabulous
that's wonderful.
Horse.
We got a lady out here going, are you going to work some brief something?
Yes. Sure.
Okay, we'll get it done for you.
230.
230 what?
Yards.
Oh, you got that'd be 220 if you're going, is it a quarter horse?
Yes.
Okay, that's 220. That's an eighth of a mile.
All right. I think he should go twice that far.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
I wonder how
Bob and Ray, they don't have anything on us. They just don't.
I wonder how.
Anybody else got anything they'd like to add to this?
I take
Come
it.
Come on in.
She doesn't know how long an eighth of a mile is. I take it she hadn't been training quarter horses too long.
I know. She kind of blinked when you said quarter horse.
Well, yeah. Well, she said 230. That's
230 what?
That's what I thought.
10 yards longer than an eighth of a mile.
I thought she was talking about 230 horses she was going to work.
My God, she'll get the bullet going 230, won't she? Yeah, right. I did too. Or maybe two and three-tenths miles.
Yeah. I had no idea.
I didn't either.
But there you go.
I didn't know her. I've never seen her.
We confuse easily around here.
Yeah.
It's easy.
As if they can't tell already.
Yeah, right.
But we're down. Very excited about Sarava going over to Keeneland for the.
He's had a very big horse. He's a teeny weeny guy, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Is he a good shipper?
Oh, this is fun. Oh, yeah. He's very professional. Janet, who runs our program, you know, she makes the final decision on all this stuff, and she only sends the ones that travel well, yeah. traveling.
Yeah.
This is really cool. Kent DeSormo was over last week, and of course, he finished second on Medaglia d'Oro in the Belmont to Sarava. And Sarava was 70-1, and Medaglia d'Oro was 16-1. And he said, and Kent said that, he says, you know, jockeys usually get blamed when the horse loses a race. You know, they're always blaming us for everything. Blame, blame, blame. He goes, but I'm going to tell you something. I lost that race, he says, and it was my fault.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
He said, yeah, if you watch the race, he said, you know, I just, this horse kept going and he kept going and he kept going, and I guess I underestimated him.
Yeah.
Everybody else did. It's 70-1.
Yes. Except for Gary Drake, the owner.
Yeah.
Oh, he has great stories about betting on the horse. Oh, yeah. He brought, I think, 10 of his friends to the races for the Belmont, and they all brought $100, and each one of them walked out with $25,000.
Oh, wow! Yeah. What's this guy? When are we leaving?
And these are the first. This is the first time most of them had ever been to the racetrack. So
how easy is this? Huh?
Yeah.
They're probably all broken, homeless now.
I'll
but
bet.
At the time, it was really nice.
Nothing's worse than a first-time starter winner.
I know. Well, that's what got me into it. The first time I went to the track, I thought I was a genius. That's how misleading I was.
That's for sure.
That's fun.
But anyway, I hope everybody will come over. It'll be about, you know, between 8:30 and 9 o'clock on next Saturday to see Sarava.
Okay.
At Keeneland. I think it's going to be really, really nice, nice program. And those breakfasts at the works they do, they have things for the kids to do, and they do a great job.
What time are you going to be over there now?
Between 8:30 and 9:30.
8:30 and 9:30. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't even call him, could we?
Yeah. Well, what time's the show next week? You got football?
No
well,
football.
You know, 10 o'clock we could call.
Yeah.
If you want to.
Yeah, we'll call you.
All right, good.
Can we talk to the horse?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talk to Sarava.
He talks.
Does he?
Yeah. If you don't bring his carrots in time, he talks to you.
That's fun.
He's saying, where's Medaglia d'Oro?
He says, where's my carrots?
idiot, where's my carrots?
Where's my carrots?
Of course, Medaglia d'Oro went on to better things.
Yeah, so I'm going to invite Kenny McPeak to come to the thing next week, and I think Gary Drake, the owner, is going to come.
Oh, nice.
And if Edgar Prado has a mount at Keeneland, he'll come. And Bert Kessinger, who was one of his original trainers, is going to try and get over there and come too. So
it'll
be like a family reunion.
That's
as a Sarava,
great.
And he's a neat horse. He really is neat. He's really, really smart, and he's very active. And he's only 13, so he introduces us to a whole new group of people.
Yeah,
you know, most of the 27 to 28-year-olds we remember, and then you have another generation that remembers the 13-year-olds, and then you have the other people that remember Rapid Redux. He's only 6.
There you go.
So,
are you having more tours since Keeneland's open?
Oh, huge.
Oh, great.
We had a couple busloads from North Dakota and Michigan. And I mean, I found out we're a major stop on the way from Michigan to Dollywood.
Oh,
oh wow. How about that?
Yeah.
We had two busloads out here.
We had
morning.
A church bus from Iowa.
Yeah, church bus.
And then I looked at the other tour bus, and I swear the license plate said Salsa. So I know I just couldn't read it.
Yeah. What did they say? Was
it's too hot.
Some Methodist church, and of course everybody says, "Oh, we can't cuss now." Here comes.
Yeah. Keep it clean.
Hold the bad language now.
Trinity church something church.
No,
Trinity. I don't know.
It's been great out there. I mean, people we get a lot of visitors. We had Dan Machowski, a guy who owned Judge's Case. It was a horse that we retired. He came and saw him yesterday. So it's been real interesting.
How was your Thoroughbred Times thing?
It was great.
Meet relatives.
Oh, I didn't tell you this. We named our road after Dr. Byers.
Oh, good.
So we have a street sign now that says Wonderful. Byers Way.
Oh, good. That's nice.
That's nice. Yeah.
It's, you know, I thought it should be instead of Byers Street, Byers Road, it should be Byers Way because that's the way we do it all the time anyway. You've got to do it his way.
That's right.
And it's right near the highway. So it's Byers Way or the highway.
Very good.
So.
He sat up all night thinking of that one.
Yeah, I did. You're right. Yeah. See, I got to think of something.
But let me take a break, and then I want to get your loser of the week.
Oh, yeah, that's no problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are the race.
I'm telling you,
the losers have been doing really good.
Is that right?
Well, yeah. We'll hear about that in just a second. Well, October 5 at Keeneland, Silver Strike, a two-year-old filly from the first crop by First Defense, won a $50,000 maiden special over a full field of well-bred fillies. October 6 at Keeneland, Eden Prairie, a two-year-old filly, she's by Mizzen Mast, making her second start and first around two turns, whipped a full field to take a $50,000 maiden special, going a mile on the turf. October 8 at Santa Anita, Sultry Season, another two-year-old filly by Mizzen Mast, won her career debut by nearly nine lengths. First Defense, of course, is also the sire of, in his first crop, one of the most highly regarded two-year-olds in Europe, in Dundonnell, winner of the Group 3 Acom Stakes in Great Britain. Mizzen Mast is one of the nation's most versatile sires. He has sired three Grade 1 Stakes winners, graded Stakes winners sprinting, and graded Stakes winners at distances up to 10 furlongs, graded Stakes winners on dirt, grass, artificial, and as many as 24 two-year-old winners in a single crop. Grade 1 Stakes winner First Defense by Unbridled Song, and Grade 1 Stakes winner Mizzen Mast by Cozy and Standard Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett Roker, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. John, Jackie, would you start this Biederman, because I'm going to sneeze here and just...
Oh, okay. Tom Biederman. Biedermanbrokerage.com.
Nobody gave me a bless me.
Oh, bless you.
Thank you. Need all the help I can get.
That was pathetic, wasn't it? Tom Biederman. He's a wonderful real estate agent. You see his signs everywhere. He can sell them, for heaven's sakes. He's got two near us. Not that he'll sell them anyway. He's got 3160 Paris Pike, which is right next door to us, right next to the training center. That place has a beautiful house on it. It's, 4 or 5 years old, I guess. Jimmy Fox built that house. And it's got a wonderful training barn. You can see it back there. And they've got walking, they've got rings and, it's just a nice place. That's nice. And, of course, you pretty much can't beat Paris Pike for a location. They've also got a 211-acre turnkey horse farm training center out on the Georgetown Road, 1342 Georgetown Road. Three barns, 41 stalls, beautiful building site, go on. It's just really good. Now, it's BiedermanBrokerage.com. That's BIEDERMAN, brokerage.com.
Well, the first two-year-olds by No Biz Like Showbiz are running. Thank You Kisses won a maiden special in his second start and then placed in the $87,200 Hillsdale Stakes at Hoosier. Gallant Performer won her first start by 12 and a half lengths and placed in the $75,000 Stakes. Indiana Ruth, first time out, came back and won by 7. Boogie Biz was third in his only start. Bow to No One placed at Kentucky Downs in his second start. Showbiz Is My Biz ran second in a maiden special at Arlington in his second start. And there are more on the way. You're invited to visit No Biz Like Showbiz and the other Crestwood Farm Stallions. Grade 1 Sire Kipling by Gulch. Mutata, one of the more than 100 Stakes winners by Mutocton. The proven Stakes Sire Noble Causeway. He had a real good winner just the other day. I think it was a maiden special two-year-old at Belmont Park. Of course, Noble Causeway by Giants Causeway. And the brilliant young multiple graded Stakes winner Tis Deja Vu by Tis Now. While visiting, ask about the services available at Crestwood Farms. Good farm to know. Crestwood, family-operated. They treat their clients like family, and that's why many of their customers have been with them for years. Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm, 252-3770. See the website, crestwoodfarm.com. All righty. Reading the catalog over there, Michael?
Yes.
That's all
future
you need.
Retirees.
Yeah. All 2,400 whatever it
there
is.
There you go. We're working on it. And I think with this aftercare thing, I should give the phone number or so. If people are interested, any of the farms or any of the people that participate in this great sport are interested in more information or in finding things out, they can go to thoroughbredaftercare.org. It's one word, thoroughbredaftercare.org. Or they can call them at 859-224-2756. That's 859-224-2756. They'd like to participate. And I'd also like to beg for a little hay before we get to our Loser of the Week. Loser of the Week is sponsored by Begging for Hay. Thank you.
.com.
Yeah. There's a wonderful allowance race today at Keeneland, the fifth race. And there's a Ramsey, of course. You know, Ken Ramsey wants to win the owner at Keeneland more than he wants to live another day. I mean, this is what he wants more than anything. He loves to be the top owner at Keeneland. So he put this horse in this allowance race named Gung Ho. Gung Ho has been running against Dullahan and Silver Max, and he ran in the Bluegrass last spring and finished third to Dullahan and Hanson. I mean, he's a really, really nice horse. So it looks like he's going to be the prohibitive favorite in here. He likes the, you know, he seems to like the synthetic okay, and he's coming down from Woodbine for Michael Maker to run in this allowance race. So I think he's going to be a very tough horse to beat in here. But there is a horse that I think can finish in second, third, or fourth right behind him and make the exacta and the trifecta and the superfecta worthwhile, and that is the sixth horse, Looking at Tiger. He's 12-1 on the morning line. Phil Sims has him. He's a really, really nice, consistent horse. And every time Phil Sims puts Gabriel Saez on a horse, and it is a jockey switch, they win 50% of the time with a return on investment of $4.90. So they're you know, he's facing some horses in here that are better than some of the ones he's faced in the past. But he's a really consistent, nice horse. And he's run on the synthetic twice, and he's got one win, and he's 1-for-1 at Keeneland, so we know he likes this synthetic. In fact, he won it last year. He came down here and won a race last year, so maybe you want to put $2 on him to win, just in case. Yeah, just in case he doesn't lose. It's our backup plan.
case he fouls up and wins.
Yeah. Right. That's happened to me recently. It's been driving me crazy. I had a 46-1 shot the other day. Because a lot of these horses are coming in from Presque Isle, and they don't look very good in the class department, but they all like the synthetic up there, and it's very similar to the surface that Keeneland has.
Yeah.
And they're coming in here and making – so I played this horse second, third, and fourth at 46-1, and he won.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice, huh? Anyway, that's what happens when you're playing losers. Sometimes they really goof everything up and – win.
Yeah. Mine usually do the other way. I bet they win and they lose.
Oh my goodness. Well, it's great seeing you, Ursula. I'll stop over at Doug's later and tell me you're asking
I've
for
I've got
him.
Two books that I was going to loan him over there. You think he would want them?
I don't know. I told him I was going to bring him some books, and it was like he's got enough books to last him from now until, you know, 50 years from now.
Yeah.
So he's going to finish these, and then we'll pile them on again.
I got two biographies over there, one of Ted Bassett and one of Babe Ruth. I thought maybe he would enjoy those.
That Babe Ruth book was written by a friend of mine.
Is that right?
Yeah, Lee Montville. He's a columnist at the Globe.
Well, they were both written by a friend of yours, basically.
Yeah, that's true. Bill Mooney and Lee Montville. There you go.
Yeah.
I saw Mr. Bassett the other day in the track kitchen.
Good.
Gave him one of the magazines. He really liked the magazine. So that
Why
was
didn't
nice.
You charge him?
Huh?
Why didn't you shake him down for $10, for God's sake? Ted would have come up with it.
I know he would have, and he probably will after he hears you say that. He won't let me out of the track kitchen without getting me a cup of coffee anyway.
You're right. Ted's a good guy.
He's a great guy. Yeah, he's been on a tour of the farm. He really likes what we're doing. He's been supportive for a long, long time, and believe me, I really appreciate someone of his stature supporting us.
Yeah. I had him on the show right after that book came out, and he was fun to talk to. You know, I mean,
the book did really well.
Yeah, I know it did.
Yeah, and it won the won the Castleton Lions Prize. Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah, well, Bill, Mooney can write, you know.
Oh, Bill's a very good writer. He won the Eclipse Award for his story on Precisionists.
Yeah,
it's in the magazine.
I can't hardly read that.
I know, I can't either. Enough. I can't either. Oh, in another couple weeks, Dr. Ellison, the woman that donated Precisionists to us, is going to come to the farm.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll look forward to seeing her.
I'd like to have her on, too.
Okay. Well, I'll drag whoever I can over here.
Yeah, you know. Well, you know how we are. Just anybody walks in the door, they better be careful. They're going to get on the air.
They're just going to say 2:30.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, Russell, thank you very, very much.
All right.
Great to see you.
If you see, I'll give Doc a call. You know, I hate to bug him, but...
If he doesn't answer, that means he doesn't want to answer.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'll give him a call, but... I was going to come by earlier and bring those books, but I could tell that he had something else.
He was doing something else.
Yeah, he was doing something else. But
bigger fish to fry.
Well, yeah.
Doesn't take a big fish. Doesn't have
to be a walk. Exactly right.
Just a minnow.
Ursel, thank you very much. And again, thanks to everybody out there that's supporting this aftercare program. I think this is a really
all right,
good
my
thing.
Viewers.
Yes, that's my racing form.
No.
What?
October.
Yeah, I'm sending it to
Doug. Yeah, I sent it to Doug.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I just was watching him, sticky fingers.
I know. You got to keep your eye on him.
I know.
I'm looking around to see if there's anything else I need, but I guess there's. I got enough pads.
Okay.
Thanks.
You're leaving me a...
Yeah, you can have a Sarava hat.
Sarava hat.
Oh, that's nice.
I giveth and I taketh away.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, Ursel.
I appreciate it.
Somehow that's sort of sacrilegious.
Not very religious, anyway.
Say hello to Diane.
I will.
Russ.
All right, Jackie, I'll do a commercial set here, and then if you want to do some announcements,
I will.
We'll have that. How's Dutcher doing out there? Has he ever played with that thing yet?
No, but they're going to take it home.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, it's the most annoying toy in the world. It sings these doofusy little songs and everything, so he'll get used to it when he sees the reaction when he gets home.
Yeah.
He'll do it.
Well, Albertus Maximus won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He won the Grade 1 Don Handicap at Gulfstream Park. He won the Windy Sands Handicap at Del Mar. He set a new track record for a mile at Del Mar. He placed in the Grade 1 Goodwood, the Grade 2 Swaps Breeders' Cup Stakes, the Grade 3 Affirm. He was on the board in 13 of his 17 career starts, and he earned over $1,328,000. Albertus Maximus was a top-class, versatile runner, and he received a full book of mares in his first season at stud this year, now booking for 2013. Stands at Shadwell Farm with the Stallions De Hare, a Grade 1 stakes winner by Awesome Again, and Sava, graded stakes winner in his first small test crop. Graded stakes winner and graded stakes sire Interdab, horse of the world Invasor. He just had a winner at Belmont, I believe, yesterday, another one. Jazzle, winner of the classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, and, of course, half-brother to Rags the Richest, winner of the Belmont Stakes. And the multiple graded stakes winner, Mooston Farr. Now, he's getting some runners in his first crop. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes, 224-4585. See the website, shadwellfarm.com. Well, Till Quill and Tack, Quill and Leather and Tack, the nation's largest I might have my tang tumbled all this morning. The nation's largest custom halter shop. They ship over 17,000 halters a year all over the world. And it's a wonderful place to visit. That's the reason the tours, you know, like.
Yeah, they're on the tour. That's amazing.
Yeah, they're right. They're on the tour. And they stop by. They got a great gift shop there. And wonderful turnout halters, and weanling halters, and yearling halters.
And they can repair anything.
Stallion halters, they can repair flats, repair just about anything. And the finest quality products that they have.
30 years, just celebrated 30 years in business.
30 years in business. And, of course, running at and is the master of all that is the master planner is Ralph Quillen. Good friend of ours.
Yeah.
And he's, of course, Quill and Tack down in Paris, Kentucky. If you're going in from the Lexington area, just keep going into Paris and go to the third stoplight and look to your left, and there it is, Quill and Leather and Tack.
Got a nice parking lot behind the store.
Yep. And it's a fun place to visit, and it's the best place in the world to buy your tack. So give them a visit. Quillin.com, Quillin.com. is the website. Well, October 5 at Keeneland, Spring in the Air, a two-year-old filly from the first crop by Spring at Last, won the Grade 1 $400,000 Alcibiades Stakes. October 6 at Woodbine, Spring Venture by Spring at Last, won the Grade 3 $200,000 Mazarine Stakes. Finishing second to Spring Venture was Shawneen Girl, another two-year-old filly by Spring at Last. Spring in the Air and Spring Venture have both won winning year in races for the Breeders' Cup. To sum it up, Spring Venture, still undefeated, has won the Grade 2 Natalma Stakes and the Grade 3 Mazarine. Spring in the Air has won the Grade 1 Alcibiades and was second to Spring Venture and the Grade 2 Natalma. A Lover's Question, another runner from his first crop, won the Jamestown Stakes at Colonial Downs. Shawneen Girl was second to Spring Venture in the Grade 3 Mazarine. And Just Gone is also placed in two stakes in Canada, all from the first crop by Spring at Last. Spring at Last, the nation's number one ranked freshman sire, stands at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Leona Packard, and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
Run, old Molly, run, run, old Molly, run. Timber's gonna beat you.
This came in and
Fogarty.
Fogarty, yeah. Well, I was thinking of the owner, the ex-owners of ACAC. Wouldn't you rather be that? Move on up where people can hear you.
You have to get this close.
Yeah, okay. There's you got but a quiet
seriously,
voice.
Seriously, you have to get close.
We're trying to get the name of a war. You, the first set that you worked for this
oh,
morning.
Oh, yes, Blue Blade and Dog's Pet.
Dog's Pet?
Yeah.
D-O-G-S Pet?
D-O-G-S Pet, yeah.
That's what I thought you said, but, you know, why would anybody name something Dog's Pet?
I don't know.
Blue Blade.
Blue Blade.
Dog's Pet.
Yeah. Dog's Pet.
Dog's Pet, yeah.
We left it open because I couldn't understand you out there.
Yeah.
I got a hearing aid, but it doesn't translate Irish.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
Dead Fogarty. He trains out here at the Thoroughbred Center. He's a native of Ireland. If you haven't figured that out yet, you will when you hear him talk a little better.
Yeah.
And he's an old steeplechase rider, so he's got to be a little on the nutty side because I know you've taken some bad falls in your life.
Oh, for sure, yeah. It's kind of part of it, all right, you know.
Yeah. Get closer to that. Just scoot it up a little.
No.
Yeah, there you
That's
go.
That's better there now.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
That's good.
What part of Ireland are you from, dude?
From Tipperary. It's kind of in the middle of Ireland, so it is. It's, I guess, Ballydoyle would be the big horse place, Aidan O'Brien, and that he'd be about maybe an hour south of where I'm from back home.
Okay.
You know, for any horse people. Yeah, Tipperary, yeah.
You know where that is, Jackie?
No. My family's from Cork. I figure that must be the dustbin.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, he says.
Well, it would be a neighboring county to Tipperary.
It's
more southern. It's south of Tip again, so
Isn't
it is,
there,
you know. It's Munster, it's the province, you know.
It's so. There's a port there.
Well, there's Cove anyway.
It's
on the coast there.
Know.
It's, you know, I wouldn't be sure.
Yeah, was your family in the horse business?
No, none of them at all. I was the only one, you know.
The black sheep?
So maybe something like that, you know. So, I don't know.
I would say how'd you get interested in horses, but hell, you probably had a pony.
Sure. I had, like, growing up, I had a pony, and I used to do a lot of hunting and that type of thing, you know.
Who'd you hunt with?
I hunted with the North Tip Foxhounds. They were kind of the local hunt at home, you know. And I didn't, like, work with horses all up along. I actually done 5 years in college. I got a degree in civil engineering.
Really?
Yeah. And when I came over here about 10, 12 years ago, was the first time that I started galloping horses. It was always something I wanted to do, like work with thoroughbreds at some stage.
Yeah.
But I figured I'd get a college degree because I didn't see much of a future in it. But it was something that I kind of thought I might like to do, but I'd have my degree to fall back on, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I first came over here, I guess it was, I think, it was 99, February 99. So it was. And I had initially came with a friend of mine. He's actually still here. He rides for Darley inside in Des O'Mara. He works.
So
you know
Desi.
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah, he's with Johnny Burke inside in Keeneland.
Yeah.
So he's in the
Johnny's a great guy. He's still with Johnny.
Still with Johnny out to do the Darley operation.
Yeah.
But I messed around here for about 4 or 5 months with, I was actually out here and a little bit in Keelan and galloping and whatnot. And my long-term plan was to go to San Francisco because I had neighbors of mine over there that had a big pipeline company. And they'd always said to me if I ever wanted to come over, because I had my degree at the time in engineering.
Yeah.
They always said to me, if you want to come on over, to we'll give you a job or whatever. And that was kind of my long-term plan when I came to America initially.
Yeah.
And that's what I'd done. And I worked in San Francisco maybe for about 2 years.
Did you like it out there?
Yeah, I did, yeah, yeah. Okay. But then I started galloping at Golden Gate Fields in the mornings before I go to the office, and I kind of got the bug back, and I ended up coming back here again. And I've been probably working with horses consistently now for probably the last 10 years anyway.
Yeah. Who are you getting on our horses for out of Golden Gate?
Oh, God, I can't even remember the names. It was. I'm not sure. Because I wasn't there too long.
Freelancing,
yeah. I can't even. And I know some trainers out there, but there were none of the ones that I. Yeah. One guy now.
Do you like Golden Gate?
Yeah, it was nice. You know, San Francisco's nice. You know.
Yeah, I was out there. When I was in the service, I was stationed on Treasure Island. Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right in the middle
of
the Bay Bridge.
Yeah, sure, I know it, yeah.
I was there for a while. They sent me to a school.
Right.
Right there. And I got passes. Clubhouse passes to Golden Gate.
Right.
So you know where I was.
every sure, weekend. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. That's a nice track.
Oh, yeah, I had a lot of fun out there. That's back when I was young and single and could pick winners.
Yeah, the place was Indian territory at the time.
Yeah. That's an insinuation of my age, what that was.
Right.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, how long did you stay there?
I was in San Fran about 2 years.
Yeah. Now, this flat, you know. How did you get into riding steeplechase?
Well, obviously where I'm from, like being Irish and all, you know.
You rode in Ireland?
I did, yeah. See, when I came back here, I started riding again, like after San Francisco, probably. And my visa ran up. That's why I had to go home. Mm-hmm. I was about maybe 2 years here doing, like, I was working here for a good bit and done a lot of the breaking for Arthur Hancock out there in Stone Farm, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And I went home for about a year, 18 months, and I started riding steeplechase at home. So then went into a jump yard. I worked for Charlie Swan back home.
Did you ride any races?
Yes, I did, yeah. Rode point, but rode amateur. You know, didn't ride professionally, you know. And then I came back here after about 18 months or 2 years of that, and I started that. I would give another year here in Kentucky, just exercise riding. I was in Keeneland for the most part, and I decided I'd check out the jump scene here in America and kind of made my way up to Maryland. And I started working for a guy called Irv Naylor. He's the biggest owner in the steeplechase industry, like probably has about four times as many horses as any other person in it really at the moment anyway. But initially what I was doing for Irv was I was just legging up horses on the farm he had up there and schooling young horses.
All jumpers.
All jumpers, yeah. And it kind of, he left me one or two to run then, so I did, you know. And they ran pretty decent, won a couple of races with some of his horses, and eventually he had a lot of his horses. I was training privately for him off his farm for about 5 years or that. We won a lot of good races now, you know. So
where'd you ride up in Maryland? You know, I'm not too familiar with the circuit.
The way it works is it's like the heart of it is kind of Maryland, Virginia. And what they call hunt meets. They have like meets every weekend from during the spring and during the fall. And there's, like, say, the one on this weekend now is actually upstate New York, would you believe it, up in Geneseo.
Okay. Wow.
Up Geneseo Valley. They have, like, a couple of timber races that are on today. Next week is the big day up at Far Hill, up in New Jersey, where they have what they call the Grand National. It's a Grade 1 steeplechase. It's a $250,000 stake.
Okay.
You know, and they have a big day of racing up there.
Is that a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup?
Sorry?
Is that a win and you're in race for the Breeders' Cup steeplechase?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah, you know. So,
did you ever ride here at High Hope?
Yes, I did actually, a couple of times.
Yeah.
Who were you riding for at High Hope?
I rode one for Lee McKinney. So I did.
Oh, did you?
Back a few years ago. I never forget it. Talking to her today, actually. And another time, I brought a horse down from Maryland that I trained myself.
Okay.
Because I used to ride some of my own as well that I trained, you know.
Yeah.
So I did, but I didn't ride, like, I mean, I didn't, was never that serious about riding races because I was never good enough to make a living at it, if you like, you know. But as I say, I trained for Irv privately off his farm for the last 5 years or so, you know.
Yeah.
So, and he had some nice horses now. We won a big, the Grade 1 in Nashville last.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Did you ride in Nashville?
I did, actually. Yeah. I rode
there,
too.
It's just like a week apart from High Hope.
Yes,
So all the real, real, real good ones go to Nashville because there's more money.
Oh, there is, yeah. They have the Grade 1 Iroquois. I won that race, too.
Did you,
last spring, 2 years.
So wow.
I did, yeah.
That's a big deal.
He didn't cook, wasn't that good to make a living at.
No, I didn't ride. I trained the winner now.
You trained it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't ride him. Horse called Tax Ruling. Very good horse.
Okay. I got to take a break and I'll get right back to you. Oh, here's my calendar. Huh. Well, Dreaming of Julia, 2-year-old filly by AP Indy, won her debut by 10.5 lengths. Her second start, the Meadow Star Stakes at Belmont. She won by 16.25 lengths. And she was 1-9 in last Saturday's Grade 1 Frisette. She won by Desperate Head after a race-long duel with My Happy Face, a 2-year-old filly from the first crop by Tis Wonderful. My Happy Face, bred by Spendthrift Farm and Shawhan Place, served notice that she was something special in her previous start. Broke her maiden by 21.5 lengths at Saratoga. The co-feature at Belmont Saturday was the Grade 1 Champagne and Golden Sense. A 2-year-old colt from the first crop by In the Mischief ran a solid second to Shanghai Bob, a colt by Harlan's Holiday. Harlan's Holiday is the sire of Into Mischief, a Grade 1 stakes winner at 2. That same day, Risky Call, a 2-year-old from the first crop by Notional, won the Canadian Juvenile Stakes by 5.5 lengths, posting his fourth consecutive win. So the first crop 2-year-olds by Tis Wonderful, Into Mischief, and Notional are running. And better book now for 2013. Call Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, or Ned Toffey, 294-0030, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FrisNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all-weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2- and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Commander, a 4-year-old son of Broken Vow, won the grade $300,000 BC Premier's Handicap on October 8th. Bred in Kentucky by Paragon Farms and sold as a yearling at Keeneland for $105,000. Commander has posted 6 straight wins for earnings of over $328,000. He's one of 17 2012 stakes winners for Broken Vow. Only John's Causeway and Spitestown have sired more. Top sire Broken Vow stands at Pin Oak Stud, home also of Bob and John, Cowboy Cal, Sky Classic. Bob and John's the sire of 3 stakes winners and another to place in stakes, and going on 50 winners in his first crop of racing age. He's off to a solid start at stud. Bob and John is a grade 1 stakes winner by Unbridled. Cowboy Cal is by champion sire Giant's Causeway. He was a multiple graded stakes winner of over $1 million, and his first foals are yearlings. Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic has sired 6 champions, 59 stakes winners, and over 100 stakes horses. For more information about the Pin Oak Studs, or to book a mare for 2013, get in touch with Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens at 873-1420 and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
Got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere. And
here. All righty, I'm talking to Des Fogarty, ex-steeplechase rider.
Yeah.
You ever take any bad falls, Des?
One or two. Nothing too serious, you know.
Yeah.
I think I broke my collarbones from time to time, and I had one at home, all right, that I had knocked myself unconscious. That was probably wasn't out for too long, like about 10 minutes or something, you know.
10 yeah. minutes?
Yeah. I've done that.
Well, maybe I don't know, it mightn't have been a full 10, but anyway. But have been lucky enough in that respect, you know. I've had plenty of falls, but never been really seriously hurt, like in comparison to some of the lads, you know. They're always getting broke up, you know. You hear terrible stories, you know. There's a danger element in it, all right, you know.
Yeah, so, exactly. Well, yeah, it's dangerous just getting out of here.
Sure it is, yeah, sure. You never know, you know.
Reason that Holly's here right now. She's set the bones on you guys.
Right.
She's studying to be a nurse, incidentally. So you've rode in the steeplechase out here, and do you ride them anymore?
I school them. I have a couple of jumpers actually up in my barn.
Do you?
I do, yeah. I had two that I took up to Middleburg last weekend. So
is,
I had.
Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Two first timers ran well too. They bought them 2 fourth places.
2 fourth?
Yeah.
Okay.
First
and they're
time out,
here?
You know. Yes, they're here. I'm training
you
them.
Got anything jump back there to jump?
No, but I take them to John Griggs's farm.
Oh, okay.
So
sure.
John has a couple of hurdles out there, so I yeah. just put them on the box and take them over there to
well,
school.
Well, and Masterson, too.
Yes, there's plenty of places. Yeah, like it's yeah. The hardest thing about it, training jumpers here in Kentucky is it's just have to travel so far to run them. It's not
yeah.
actual. It's not actually
sure.
training them is no problem. Like, I mean, it's easy to find something to jump, you know, and it's a different style of training, obviously, from the flat. It's more stamina than speed, you know. So
what
these horses gallop 2.5 miles every day, you know.
Yeah.
So they do, you know.
What
so.
Is what does John have out there? What kind of facilities?
Chester John's a beautiful farm out there. You know, he's got a big field that we can work around, you know, just natural up and down hills. It's,
yeah.
it's typically what horses run around. It's like
yeah.
that's what they... If you train them over that type of topography, you know, like up and down hills, there's plenty of courses around the country that are like
yeah.
that anyway, so they get used to going up and down the dips, you know. They get to learn to balance themselves, you know, more so as just galloping on a flat surface
right.
every day. And he has just a couple of hurdles, the regulation national hunt fences over here,
mm-hmm.
you know, there that he has a few of them out there. And so that's all there is to it, really, you know.
Yeah.
Once you get them fit enough and get them jumping, go to the races, you know.
Now you've got one, you've got something in training for him here, Johnny Green.
I have, yes, that he owns Blue Blade.
Does he now?
Colton. He ran second his first time out in Turfway about a month ago.
Okay.
And I'm entering him tomorrow for Keeneland on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, good luck.
So he's a nice little colt, you know.
Yeah.
Who's he by?
He is by Bluegrass Cat. So
Bluegrass Cat.
Yeah.
I've known John for longer than
yeah.
any one of us would like to admit, I guess.
Yeah, John's a good fellow now. He's been good to me, you know.
Oh, he's
since I came back,
a great vet.
Yeah.
He and a good friend of mine, Lee Eaton, were partners. I don't know.
Right.
Lee
don't
was
know
probably
him
gone
now.
When you got here.
Yeah, I don't know him now.
They were both, you know, Lee's, you see the Eaton sales.
Oh, yes,
field?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah.
He founded
yeah.
that.
I'll go ahead.
Yeah. Lee just
yeah,
died
yeah.
a couple
familiar
years
with that,
ago. Johnny, does John still get on horses?
Oh, he does every day.
Oh,
yeah.
my God.
Well,
he's pretty near my age.
Yeah.
He's old enough no better. I know that.
He plays tennis as well, I think. Well, he does.
Oh.
Yeah. If I'm going half as good as him at his age, I'll be happy, you know.
Well, yeah. If he's going at all at
yeah.
his age.
I hope he's not listening, though.
I hope he's not either.
I hope
he's probably,
he is.
He's probably out riding out.
Yeah. I'm going to get him on a show. He would be fun to talk to.
Yeah.
Because he had a champion steeple.
Oh, he had, yeah. He's had
back.
Some really good ones down to the years. The
nice.
Armswell was, he was an Eclipse Award winner, so
uh-huh.
he was,
yeah.
a few years back. And had a pretty decent one about 2-3 years ago. That was a horse called Hip Hop that was on the circuit. He won
mm-hmm.
probably 5 or 6 races anyway, good races, you know.
Now, I think, so, didn't his son used to ride?
Yeah, Kirk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Did you
yeah.
know Kirk Jackie?
I didn't know. I don't know Kirk now, but I know
he's an attorney.
That
you talk about broken up.
Yeah, he got some.
He got some.
Hurt at the farm, I think, one time.
Yeah.
Schooling, as far as I know.
Yeah.
You know.
But he's an attorney.
In Lexington here?
Yeah. He used to have an office down on Main Street, but I haven't.
I'm not sure.
I don't know what
if he's
doing
wrong
now.
I think he's down in Austin and he has a music shop down there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, if I'm nearly
time.
Sure, that's what he's doing now.
Quit lawyering?
Yeah, I think so.
What a
yeah.
smart guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think anything he kind of turned his hand to, he was able to make a go of it, you know.
There,
yeah,
well.
So, one of those.
Yeah.
You know, I think that John and Lee Eaton were instrumental in forming or getting Macaulay Feed Company over there to produce those products that they do. This was way back.
The pellets. Especially
yeah,
formulated for
yeah.
here and
yeah.
resources and stuff.
Yeah.
They really did.
Yeah.
It was very forward-looking at the time.
Right.
Yeah, boy, what a great product they put out.
Yeah.
They really do.
Yeah, they do.
I think this is the fifth straight weekend that we've had horses that were raised on Macaulay products at one grade one state.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's who I use. So I do.
Yeah, we do too.
Macaulay's,
yeah.
I do, yeah.
Johnny put you on to them?
No, I use Macaulay's even up in Maryland. Like, I mean.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
they've got a farm in Pennsylvania up there.
I think they do, yeah.
I'm not a farm. Mill.
Yeah, they do, I think. Yeah, because we were able to get it up there, you know.
Yeah. Okay, gotta take another break. I'll get back to you, Dez.
All right, sir.
All right.
Good to talk to you.
Sit still.
Okay.
No.
You're not loose yet.
We're not through with you yet.
Right. Johnny Griggs is expecting me out to ride out. You better hurry on.
All right.
Well, I know. I'm
Johnny will wait.
Did he? All Russian Johnny.
Majestic Warrior is the nation's leading first crop sire of two-year-old winners with 13, and the second leading freshman sire for Money One. He's the sire of 5 2-year-olds, which are placed in stakes, 2 of them in graded stakes, and they're winning at major tracks all across the country. 3 won at Saratoga, others at Belmont, Delaware, Monmouth Park, Hoosier, 2 at Calder, Louisiana Downs, Santa Anita. Majestic Warrior won the Grade 1 Hopeful as a 2-year-old, and he's by champion sire AP Indy. Out of the multiple Grade 1 stakes winner and millionaire Dream Supreme by Seeking the Gold. Out of Grade 1 stakes winner Spinning Around. With a pedigree like that, it comes as no surprise at Majestic Warrior sign runners. In stakes last weekend, Giants Causeway, his three-year-old daughter, Dalcala, won her second group stakes in France. I'll tell you what it was, but I don't know how to pronounce it. She is the one of 23 2012 stakes winners by Giants Causeway, the nation's leading sire with earners of more than $8,336,000. 11 of his 23 2012 stakes winners have won graded stakes, 2 grade 1. Majestic Warrior and Giants Causeway both stand at Coolmore's Ashford Stud, leading sires, potential leading sires only at Coolmore.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville studios, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville, where price sells cars.
October 8 in Canada, a class included, a 4-year-old filly by Include won the Grade 3 $100,000 Bellarmina Stakes. Bred in Kentucky by Michael and Amy Furborn, class included, has won 10 of her 16 starts. She's got 10 wins and 6 seconds in 16 starts, and 8 of those were stakes wins. She is the 4th 2012 graded stakes winner by Include. Include Me Out is a multiple Grade 1 stakes winner this year. Redeemed has won the historic Grade 2 Brooklyn. She's all in the Grade 360 sales. Earlier Grade 1 stakes winners by Include, Panty Raid, Her Smile, Cash Included. Include is sired the winners of over $5 million this year. Ranks among the nation's leading sires, just above Bernardini by North American Earnings. One of the nation's leading sires, Include, is at Mr. and Mrs. Brad and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All righty, starting the second hour here, and then we're just continuing a little conversation here with Dez Fogarty, who trains out here at the Thoroughbred Center now. My wife, she's real nosy about your family.
Yeah.
Are you married, Dez?
Oh, I am, yes. Yeah.
Did you marry an Irish girl?
No, I didn't. I married a girl from Texas.
From Texas?
Yes.
Well, she's foreign.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Where did you meet her?
I met her in Maryland, actually, when I was up there.
Maryland, a Texas girl in Maryland.
I met her out at Maryland, Josh Pons's farm.
I know Josh.
Yeah, I was breaking babies out there in the afternoons, and she was working there at the time. So.
Yeah, that Pons family has been up there forever, you know.
That's right, Malibu Moon, sure, that's there.
That's where you got started.
Yeah.
I guess they still own a piece of it.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
You know, moving down, of course, he's over at Spencer.
That's
now.
Right,
Tom
Horsey. Yes, he is tough. Tough horse, you know. Yeah. They're good.
Number one son of AP Indy on the sire list.
Yeah, he would be, yes. Yeah.
So you met her up there?
Yes.
Was she with Josh?
Yeah, she was working on the farm at the time.
Okay.
You know, so. Yeah.
Got any children?
Yes, one little girl. She just turned 4 there last September.
Yeah, what'd you name her?
Gracie Matilda.
Miss Gracie Matilda.
I love it.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's a good name.
Miranda kind of called her, because we liked the name Gracie, and she put the Matilda to give her a little bit of a southern twang, is what she told me it was. Anyway.
Southern twang.
Oh, that's Texas, I guess.
Yeah, it's a Lone Star coming out.
Were you the only one in your family here from Ireland?
Yes, yeah. I have three brothers and a sister. They're all back home. My parents are at home as well. So.
Yeah.
And none of your brothers and sisters are in the hospital?
No, they all have sense. You know, that's what people tell me. Like when I got my when I tell people like I had a degree in civil engineering, and I don't know who told me someday I must have flunked common sense.
Civil engineering.
What am I doing? You know,
so legitimate.
Got to do what you like to. You know,
you get to go home often.
We try to get back at least once a year.
Yeah,
you know,
so it's the hard. Like, I mean,
baby. You know, and some of my brothers they've got young kids as well and stuff. You know, so
yeah.
You know, but it's hard in this business to get away, you know. Yeah. A lot, like, I mean, I have nine head up there now, and I do a lot of as much of the work as I can myself, you know, obviously.
You've got a real tall kid, David.
David Hackett.
Is he from Ireland too?
He is, yeah. Yeah, he works out of Shadwell, so he does.
Yeah,
he's been out there the last probably 4 or 5 years. Okay. And he helps me out in the mornings because we have a horse up there that we're in partnership that we're going to make a jumper out of.
Okay.
That we actually got for nothing out of a field last November. 4-year-old unbroken. Lovely horse, yeah.
Four and unbroken.
Yeah, it's unbroken. Big horse by Royal Anthem, you know.
And
incidentally, Royal Anthem is standing at home as a jump sire in Ireland at the moment.
I didn't realize where that was. He started out here.
He was in Hopewell, that's right. Yeah,
he was an excellent racehorse himself.
Big galloping horses, like, go all day, you know. That's kind of what you want for the jumps, you know, because obviously you're running over the distance, you know.
Yeah, do you buy many horses or anything like that?
Not really. Yeah. No, you know.
I was thinking, you know, there's certain studs around here that you would look for. Royal Anthem would have been
the Dynaformers were the ones that they were all after in the jumps. You know, the best horse I had when I was training was Tax Ruling. He's still on the circuit, actually. I think he might have got hurt. But he was the one that won the Iroquois, the big race. He was Dynaformer. And they all, like, and there was another big horse that was one of the top steeplechasers in the country. His name was Matt Dynamo. He was Dynaformer as well. Mm-hmm. The Dynaformers are tough. And grass, of course.
They run on anything.
Yeah, you know. Pedigree means nothing really, but he was probably one of the more popular ones, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But good horses, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's because they ran on anything.
Yeah, well, that's it, you know, and they were tough, too, you know, and had a bit of athleticism about them, too, that they could jump.
I believe he's retired now, isn't he?
Yeah, sure, he died, didn't he? Or is he no, he retired, didn't he? Yeah.
I think he's retired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only recently.
Been any good small steeplechasers?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Like, I mean, I had a little horse that they brought over from Ireland. His name is Decoy Daddy. He's still running. He was only a handy little horse. Very good, though. But, like, I mean, he wasn't probably maybe 15-2 or that, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes some of the tracks are suited to a handier little horse because you can get some of tighter, faster tracks here, too.
Right.
That'll suit a little handier little horse and get around those little bends and quick to jump, you know. As opposed to, say, the Iroquois is like 3 miles. It's more of a stay-in track, you know. So it's kind of different course, different horses for courses kind of thing, you know. So
Do you separate timber horses from brush?
Oh, yes. Big difference.
So what do you look for in both?
Well, the timber, it's more the jumping. They have to have it's more emphasis on jumping because they're straight up and down post and rail.
Right, and if they hit it,
they're very unforgiving, you know, especially the Maryland timber, the big, you know, the Maryland Hunt Cup, I'm sure you've probably heard of it, you know, like, I mean, just to walk into them fences, like, they're 4.5 by 5 feet high, some of them, you know.
Jeez.
I mean, it's amazing what they can do, them animals, you know. But the brush, the hurdle fence or the hurdle racing, the brush, it's more speed orientated.
Okay, they kind of flick
through them a little bit. They're a little less forgiving, but at the same time, you can't miss one either, you know, because it'll unbalance them or whatever, you know. But the timber, they're longer too. The timber races, can be anywhere between 3 and 4 miles, where your typical hurdle race is between 2 to 2.5.
Jeez,
you know,
that's because it's shorter, faster.
Yes, shorter, faster, and what you see at Saratoga, I'm sure you've watched some of the steeplechases at Saratoga.
Sure.
That's the brush racing, you know.
Yeah.
But the timber racing is a little different, you know, a little more specialized, you know, like the Virginia Gold Cup is one of the bigger races. So that's 4 miles. So I won that with a horse called Salmo, 13 years old he was.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like that's
most of those. Race, you know. I always look those. I've looked up those Middleburg races.
Yeah.
came across Brisnet. And most of those horses that are winning those things, you know, are 9, 10,
oh, yes,
11,
they don't
12.
Get good until they're later, like 8 yeah. or 9, you know, because they get the experience, you know. They need it,
yeah.
you know, especially your good timber horses. Like, I mean, you just, when them horses know their job, they just sit up and leave them alone. If they have mm-hmm. to shorten, lengthen, or whatever they have to do to get over their fences fluently, they'll do it, you know. But they have to have a natural aptitude for jumping, you know.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
going to
you know,
so. Guess that there are more brush jumping than races than there are timber.
Yeah, yeah, a lot yeah. more, you know. But yeah. there are, Maryland is kind of the heart of timber racing.
Oh,
so
okay.
So there's a Maryland that where they run, they have like the Manor, the Grand National, and the Maryland Hunt Cup all back-to-back every weekend, and they're all timber mad up there for the few weeks, you know. But there is, like, usually at most of the meets, like, say, the Iroquois, they have the $150,000 timber race. There'll usually be one or two timber races as where they'll have four or five hurdle races
right, yeah.
at each, yeah. you know, hunt meet or whatever, you know. Yeah. But there definitely is a lot more of the brush racing than timber. And a lot of people, like a lot of trainers don't train timber. Like, Jonathan Shepherd doesn't train timber horses. But, like, I mean, he's one of the lead, he'd be leading trainer like,
right.
over the brush, obviously. You know?
Does it take longer for a timber?
A little more making, yeah. yeah. It takes a little more time and
for
a lot
another
of
hour,
you know,
mile and a half.
Yeah,
Ooh.
You know. Well, the jumping is the thing, you know. After that, you just have your type, you know. It's not about speed. It's about just a big galloping horse, like something that can 2-minute lick for 3 miles is what you're looking for, you know.
Yeah.
yeah.
And usually if you like a good hurdle horse, if you're like, because all them hurdle horses are came off the flat anyway. You know, they're all,
yeah.
and some of them have, you know, you could good. You're really what you're looking for is a good solid allowance horse or something like that, you know, something that'll go 14s all day long.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, that can
wow.
just lie up at a gallop, yeah. you know, that's what you want, you know.
Amazing.
Now, of course, you've trained the flat racers here, everything, what you're doing
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing now, yeah.
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 How many
yeah.
got over now?
Well, I have 9, and 2 of them are steeplechase horses.
Nine.
So I guess
yeah.
I have 7 flat horses on the go.
Yeah.
You know, so been doing all right. You know, we had, you know, here running reasonably, you know, had a winner up in Arlington there a couple of weeks ago. That's Soapstone Prairie that he worked
okay.
there this morning. He won and picked up a race up there, and a couple of 2-year-olds getting ready to go here now. So it's gonna happen.
Where are you going to run in?
I was actually looking at a race at Churchill for him on the 7th. So
okay.
I was, because I think he's never run on a dirt, and I feel like he goes okay on it. He's hard spun, so they kind of go on anything, you know. So as he's running nothing on the turf and synthetic, and the turf is running out now, you know, there's nothing really for
right.
him. He's not
yeah,
good enough to run on the turf at Keeneland or Churchill.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I wouldn't probably try him on the dirt one time, and I think he'll be solid around turfway in the winter, you know.
Okay.
So he's about that level. Like, he runs for, like, anywhere between 10 and 15, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Do you
know.
Use the gallops in the back, or do you
yeah.
just stay on the track?
No, I go to the field quite a lot. You know, that's the one
yeah.
thing I like about my barn up there, Barn 24. It's right beside it. You
it's
know,
the,
so.
the old
barn.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, and this track is a good track.
It's a good track. Yeah.
yeah.
It's you know, it's it can it's a little it's there's a lovely cushion to it. I think, you know.
Yeah.
I think because I had been in Keeneland like last fall, last winter, and it's chalk and cheese like the two surfaces. You know. You know,
yeah.
this is a lot faster track in Keeneland, you know, like you'll get an honest work into one here, you know, as whereas Keeneland is very, not knocking the track or anything.
No,
it's
different.
It's just different, you know, and it took my horses a long time to adapt, you know, to get over this track, the way they're getting over it now. It didn't happen overnight for them, you know.
Yeah, it gives them more of a workout.
Yeah, it does, yeah, you know. But,
yeah, it's good.
You know,
I'm glad
yeah.
to hear that, because
yeah, so.
I think this is a nice
yeah.
place to train.
No, absolutely. You know, I like it here, and I like that I have a turnout paddock as well. I like to turn out
well, that's
some of
good.
The horses. You know, they don't,
yeah.
can't turn them all out because they couldn't handle it, but there's a couple of them there that it works very well for, especially the fillies, you know.
Yeah, we always hit a turnout paddock.
Yeah.
And they get to, when they get real ready to race, sometimes
yeah, well,
they
the
can't
I couldn't,
stand themselves
no,
to be turned
yeah,
out.
I could. I have 2-year-olds up there, and I'd be afraid to turn them out. They'd hurt themselves,
yeah.
you know.
Oh, well,
some
this,
of the older the, horses, when they get
we had one that would just
level-headed, you know.
Rip his shoes
yeah.
off. Oof.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
That was a pain in the neck.
Yeah, so he finally got to
our lower region.
Yeah.
My jumpers get turned out every day, all right. They,
oh,
they
sure.
They kind of need it, yeah. You know, but they're 4 or 5-year-olds. They're a little more level-headed than them 2-year-old colts, you know. So.
Well,
interesting.
I'm going to let you go. When you see Diaz, O'Meara.
Diaz.
Oh, I will. I'll say hello to him.
Yeah, say hello to him. I'll tell you a little story on him before he goes. He came down and came off at a horse here going the other side one day. I think he broke his collarbone.
Oh, he did, actually, yeah.
Yeah,
I remember him breaking it a few years back, yeah.
Yeah, right. The outrider rode up to him and got up with Susie and got off and ran up to him and leaned over and says, Dez, are you all right? Are you all right? He says, I want my mommy. Remind him of that.
I will, yeah. I'll probably see him later on today, actually.
I haven't forgotten that. Will you tell him I said hello?
I will, yeah. Absolutely. All right.
Is he your daddy now, too?
Yes, he is. Your Kathy. You probably know his wife. Okay, she's walked out here, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a little girl, Cassidy.
She used to ride about her. She was very good. She was a good athlete, period.
Yeah. She works for the jockey club now, I think.
Well, good for her.
She got a job at the jockey club.
I forget where she was. I had her on the show once.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
And I believe that she was working for the jockey club.
Yeah.
Might have been. Well, you tell him I said hi.
I will, yeah.
If you see Johnny Burke, tell that bum a hello, too.
I will, yeah.
All right, Dez. I appreciate your time and to say hello to John.
Okay, I will.
All right.
All right, thanks, Ursula.
Thank you. Okay. This has been Dez Fogarty, trains out here. If you got a steeplechaser you want trained, he's your man.
Absolutely.
Or flat, as far as that goes, he'll do them both.
Yes, catered everyone.
All right, my friend.
All right, thanks.
Well, Eddington is the sire of 5 2012 stakes winners, 3 of them graded stakes winners. Secret Circle won the grade 2 $500,000 Rebel Stakes at Oaklawn, the grade 3 Southwest Stakes also at Oaklawn. Ran second in both the grade 1 Arkansas Derby and the grade 3 Sham at Santa Anita. Last year, he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Sprint at Churchill and the Jack Goodman Stakes at Santa Anita. He's earned over $1 million. Bush by Star has won 2 stakes this year, including the grade 2 Molly Pitcher at Monmouth for earnings of more than $342,000. And 2-year-old Gold Eagle has won 3 of her 4 starts, including the grade 3 Arlington, Washington, Lassie, and the Lisa M Stakes at Arlington Park. Another current 2-year-old by Eddington. Eddington's note is placed in the $100,000 Presque Isle Debutante Stakes. And in stakes last Monday, Peace Preserver, a 3-year-old filly by Warfront, bred by Cherry Valley Farm and trained by Todd Fletcher, won the $150,000 Pebble Stakes at Belmont. Eddington and Warfront stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Remember in the horse business, give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners both here and abroad first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. And the Clayward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clayward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, last Saturday at Keeneland, Simon Eyes, a 2-year-old from the first crop by Street Hero, won a $50,000 maiden special by widening 4.5 lengths. Bred by Clarkland Farm, trained by Wesley Ward, and sold as a yearling for $100,000. Simon Eyes broke from the number 11 outside post position to easily defeat a field of well-bred colts, including youngsters by a Fleet Alex, Medalli Doro, Big Brown, any given Saturday. Street Hero, a grade 1 stakes winner by Street Cry, stands at Vinery, Kentucky. You're welcome to inspect the Vinery stands, and while there, be sure to inquire about Vinery's facilities. They've got them in New York and Florida as well. Vinery is all the tools required to give your bloodstock the finest care available. Boarding, sales prep, breaking, training, rehabilitation, and even offer a very successful racing partnership program. So get in touch with either John Gasper or Steve Castanola or Francis Relihan or Grant Williamson at Vinery, Kentucky. The number is 455-9388. See the website, vinery.com. All right. Well, I've got Steve Moody with me now, and I've got Steve, of course, is with the Briss, and he's the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet and a big UK fan, and I'm sure he's going to root for UK tonight. Did you go to Big Blue, whatever they call it, last night?
No, I've never been to that, Ursula. I have to admit it did look kind of... interesting last night with some of the things they did.
What did they do? I didn't get a chance to go. I didn't go anyway. I never have been to one, but I'm too lazy to get off my couch.
Yeah, I would much rather go to the blue-white scrimmage than go to Big Blue Madness.
Yeah.
I'm not really interested in all the entertainment part of it. I'm watching, you know, there, you know, I'd be there to watch the basketball part, which is very little for that type of thing. But I thought it was pretty interesting last night that they, first off, they covered the floor with this white, I guess, like a tarp or something that was white, and it sort of turned it into a giant projector screen, and they put up the player pictures and highlights from past games and things like that, which kind of was pretty cool. And then,
oh yeah,
of course they re-raised all the championship banners and brought back some of the a player from each of the eras. You know, from Wawa Jones was there from the Fabulous Five, and Cliff Hagan came back from the 51 team, and Adrian Smith and Vernon Hatton from 58, and Jack Gibbons and Kyle Macy and Ron Mercer and Derek Anderson and Jeff Shepard.
Uh-huh.
And so they had representatives there from all the championship teams, and they brought a rope down from the center of the court, and they all pulled on it and raised the banners back up to their spot in the rafters. It was kind of pretty cool.
Yeah. I didn't watch it. We had guests, so I didn't even get to see it. Well, anyway, let's get back to racing. Who's going to win the Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup Stakes today?
One other thing, kind of, Ursula, is if you were a hunch player yesterday at Keeneland, you had to make money in the fourth race because, of course, on yesterday being a Big Blue Madness day, in the fourth race at Keeneland, the four-horse Big Blue Spirit won the race. So how you could pass on that, betting on that one, I'll never know. Paid $11.40. So
well, I bet none of the Louisville fans bet on it. All right.
Well, we got a field of eight, Ursula, for the Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Cup. Terrific field of three-year-old fillies. This is, of course, a mile and an eighth on the grass, and really well-matched field. It's really hard to throw too many of them out in here. You get several of these that have been running against each other. The ones I settled on have been running up in New York, running at Saratoga. That would came down to center court, Stephanie's Kitten, and Somali Lemonade. They all come out of the Lake Placid Stakes up there. That was a very competitive race, and a race where I thought Stephanie's Kitten probably really didn't have the best trips that day, but still managed to get out of the box she was in and come running late. Looked like center court was going to win it. He had gotten to the front in a deep stretch, but Stephanie's Kitten managed to extricate herself from the trouble she was in and came running late and nipped center court in the late stages. I thought that was a real big effort. She's going to be running again at the finish today under John Velasquez, so I'm going to give her the nod to win again. I thought Center Court ran a very big race. She's been, she had had a three race win streak prior to losing that last one. I think she's going to be very tough again. And the horse I think that's worth a look at a little bit of a price, Ursula, is Somali Lemonade. This is a horse that ran very well at Keeneland back in the spring. And last fall, and she's yet to win this year. You know, she was heavily bet early on. Everybody had big expectations based on what she did last year, and she hasn't won yet this year, but she seems to be running herself back into shape. Each race seems to be a little bit better than the one before, and would not surprise me today if she maybe puts everything together and coming back to Keeneland where she had an impressive win last fall, would not surprise me to see her maybe get up and win this one today. She's 6-1 on the morning line. But anyway, we're going to go 5-4-6 today in the QE2 Challenge Cup.
All right, 5-4-6. Okay. All right, Steve. I'll go get my. We'll go down to the backyard and dig up some money. All right. Jackie said I'd better if I could find any. All right. Well, my friend, thank you. It's been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. You can get that at the track or just about anywhere where they sell a daily racing form, or you can go online, which is brisnet.com, B-R-I-S-N-E-T. Can't go wrong. Steve, thanks.
All right, Ursula.
Talk to you next week, my friend.
Sir.
All righty. Well, October 5 at Keeneland, Silver Strike, 2-year-old filly from the first crop by First Defense. I get that. Let me say that again. Silver Strike, she's a 2-year-old filly from the first crop by First Defense. She won a $50,000 maiden special over a full field of well-bred fillies. October 6th at Keeneland, Eden Prince, a 2-year-old filly by Mizzen Mast, making her second start. And the first around two turns, whipped a full field to take a $50,000 maiden special going a mile on the turf at Keeneland on October 8th. At Santa Anita, sultry season, another 2-year-old filly by Mizzen Mast won her career debut by nearly 9 lengths. And First Defense is also the sire in his first crop of one of the most highly regarded 2-year-olds in Europe. That would be Dundonale, winner of the Group 3 Acom Stakes in Great Britain. Mizzen Mast is one of the nation's most versatile sires. He has sired 3 Grade 1 stakes winners. He's sired graded stakes winners sprinting and graded stakes winners at distances up to 10 furlongs, graded stakes winners on a dirt, grass, artificial, and as many as 24 two-year-old winners in a single crop. Grade 1 stakes winner First Defense and by Unbridled Song, and Grade 1 stakes winner Mizzen Mast by Cozine, both stand at Judmont Farm. Inquiries of Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry. See the website at judmont.com. Well, another big weekend for horses raised on products from McCauley Brothers. Wise Dan, winner of the Grade 1 Shadwell Turf Mile, was raised at Patch and Wilkes Farm for breeder Mort Fink. The winner of the Grade 1 Alcibiades, Spring in the Air, was bred by Windstar Farm. Dreaming of Julia, winner of the Grade 1 Frisette, was bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. The Grade 1 Champagne Stakes, Shanghai Bobby, was bred by Stonehaven Steadings. Neck and Neck, winner of the Grade 2 Indiana Derby, was raised at Three Chimneys for breeder Ian Wilkes. The Grade 3 Bourbon Stakes went to Balance the Books, raised at Hillendale Farm for breeder Scott Hyder and Knowles Bloodstock. The Dream Supreme Stakes at Belmont, winner Munning's sister, was bred by Charles Fipke and raised over Darby Dan Farm. Vegas No Show, winner of the Delaware's Dover Stakes, was bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. The Grade 3 Pilgrim Stakes winner, Noble Tune, was bred by Dale Ridge Farm. And in France, Dalkila, bred by the Aga Khan, raised at Airdrie Stud, won Group 2 Stakes there. Congratulations to all. Another weekend, more evidence that the McCauley Brothers products are the finest in the world. Call Mike Warren, David Longmire. Number over there is 873-3333. Stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. You're always welcome. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Jim Fitzgerald, a friend over on in Bourbon County on 460 and another farm on 27. The place on, incidentally, on 460 is for sale, and it's listed with my good friend Tom Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. A wonderful place. He's been on Jim at that farm now since 1994, developed into a very successful horse farm, but he's got another farm now. I guess he needs two, so he's selling one of them. Well, Jim has developed other farms, other properties around, and got them going and then sold them and done very well doing that. He's done very well doing just about everything as far as that goes. I know he had a great sale out at Keeneland in September. I don't think I went through all those things, and I didn't see anything. It was a buyback, no RNAs in his consignment. He got them all sold. There were a couple that were out, but that happens to anybody, you know. I mean, but he's got a he just does a great job prepping horses for the sales, or boarding, or sales prep, as I said, public or private sales, doesn't make any difference. Rehab, quality help on his farm, and he can give you some good, sound, common sense advice if you're thinking about getting into the horse business, or if you're in it and you're not doing too good. And let me give you his website. It's notgriffinfarm.com, KNOCKGRIFFINFarm.com, and his phone number in Bourbon County, 987-8032. Go to that website and look him up, and give him a call and do some business with him. You couldn't do better. Jim Fitzgerald, Not Griffin Farm. All right, Jackie, you ready to do some of your announcements?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good.
I bet your jaw is tired.
Yeah, I've just been flapping and flapping.
Yeah, that was a good interview. A lot of fun.
Yeah, Des was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, I like, you know, when you can talk to somebody who knows something a lot, obviously, about something like steeplechasing. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we had a lot of mutual friends.
Yes.
So, even, you know, going back to Maryland up there with Josh Pons, and the Pons family has been up there forever. Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Okay. Let me see here. Grayson Jockey Club Research Foundation is going to benefit from the Celebration of the Horse presented by Great American Insurance. This will be held Friday, October 26th. That's like a week, 2 weeks from yesterday. At the Keene Barn and Entertainment Center here in Lexington. No tickets. Reservations will be held at the door. Now, RSVP pretty quick. They want you to RSVP by tomorrow. So, need to get on that. Grayson Jockey Club is super. I think it's $150 each. Yes, tickets, $150. A buffet, a live auction, tickets are $150. It's casual attire. And I'm sorry, but if I'm going to dress up, I mean, if I'm going to pay $150 to go somewhere, I'm dressing. So there. Anyway, give them a call. You can get a hold of somebody at the Jockey Club, Nancy Kelly, 212-521-5305 or nkelly@jockeyclub.com. Ultimate Bristnet Ultimate Breeders Cup handicapping package, all for $25. Got the Breeders Cup preview and analysis, pre-entry ultimate past performances, spotlight selections, PPs, da-da-da-da-da, win factor report. All this is all for you at bristnet.com for $25. Get you ready for the Breeders' Cup. Pick a winner in every race. You are invited to attend an upcoming symposium hosted by the Gluck Equine Center. They're going to talk about infectious diseases. This is going to be Sunday, October 21st at the Hilton Downtown Lexington Hotel. If you're interested, get a hold of somebody at Gluck. It's 218-1089. Oh, I don't need to talk about the new medication information for trainers. Their veterinarians already know about it. It's all about Salix and Lasix and all that good stuff. Tomorrow is October 14th. It's cross-country schooling day for the Woodford Hounds. Everybody's invited. Sunday, October 14th, 11 to 2, $20 per horse and rider combination. The kennels are, I'm going to tell you, A.T. Dean Road, Harrodsburg, if you have one of those things you punch in and it finds your way there. But if you just go out Harrodsburg Road and cross the river and go on back up the top of the hill, it's on the right. It borders Shakertown. The kennels are there and then begins Shakertown. So it's on the Lexington side of Shakertown. Now, why would you do this? Because the following week is the 2012 cross country trials. They start at 11 o'clock. There's several divisions, warm up, open, green, hilltoppers, and pairs. Pairs jumps do not exceed 2.9. So, what a fun thing. This is a good time. If you want more information, go to thewoodfordhounds.org or contact Jenny Howard, 338-4034. That'll take care of tomorrow and the following Sunday. The next membership meeting, which we are attending October 16th, will be having a trainer's forum with Kenny McPeak and Dale Romans. That ought to be fun. I think Dale Romans is funny. He cracks me up. He ought to be worth a trip out there just for the heck of it. If you haven't made your reservations, I don't know. Might be a little late, but the number is 948-7321. They might take you if you give them a call. October 27th? What?
Where's the meeting?
It doesn't say.
Oh.
You have to guess. It's like one of those, if you have to ask, you don't belong? No, that's not it. I don't know where it is. It's not in the thing. Matt Howard said he was going to check for us because we'll be going with Matt. October 27th. Look on that calendar. Is that a Saturday? It usually is on a Saturday. Okay, Central Kentucky Riding for Hope. Halloween trail ride, use tax sale, and ride-a-thon. Bring your own horses, and you get to ride all over the Kentucky Horse Park, and believe me, it doesn't happen very often because they have shows and stuff, and you're not allowed to go out there and just, you know, trail ride around, but you can this day. The tax sale starts at 8. Trail ride, you can ride from 9 till 3 at the 2 o'clock, they have a horse and rider costume contest. It's amazing how many people go out there with kids. And it's Halloween. They dress up in their Halloween costumes and dress up the horse and the whole nine yards. It's a good time. If you have tack to donate, let me see that. They are going to pick up donations if you need for that to happen, like if, you know, got several things. Call them at 231-7066. I noticed Nori Scheffel is the outride organizer, and the farrier's Dave Scheffel, her husband. So, anyway, it's fun. It's a good time. So, that's coming up. October 12th, which is that today? Is that today?
No, day 13th.
Oh, okay. Let me sort of plow through these. Oh, the web page, I'm sorry, Horse Park web page is a booger. It's hard to figure out what's going on, but I'm going to give you what I got. October 13th, National Carriage Drive, Paso Fino Grand National, KDA Fall Classics, KMSHA Championships. I don't know what that means because they don't explain it. The 14th National Carriage Drive Paso Fino Grand National KDA Fall Classic. And then you go to the 19th Mid-South Team Challenge and the Halloween Camp Out Weekend 1. The 19th, the 20th Mid-South Team Challenge. It's just hard to figure out. PMHA Moreb Show on the 20th.
If anybody sees John Nicholson anytime soon, have him call us.
It's just
the website's not very good, and
hard to figure out what's going on.
I'll try to get in touch with him next week, Jack.
Okay, thank you, because I like to do the announcements for him, but if you can't read it. The Alltech National Horse Show begins October 30th, and good luck to you for how many days that is. I don't know if it's 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. It's hard to figure out. Macaulay's have a new supplement, pelleted supplements called M10 Balancer for mature horses at maintenance or work. It's great for overwork, mature horses requiring little to no grain, horses on calorie restricted thing for like laminitis or whatever. So it's a good, it's, they're already, they're doing a good job with it. A lot of people are using it. 873-3333, Mike Warren or David Longmire. As I said, ASPCA McClay National Championship will be at the National Horse Show. I saw pictures of the old horse show when it was at Madison Square Garden. What a fancy deal it is. Really, really wonderful that they've picked up on that and moved it here. That's all Tech's doing, I think. You know, they've got great sponsorship.
Take a little break. Well, Albertus Maximus won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, won the Grade 1 Don Handicap, that's at Gulfstream. He won the Windy Sands Handicap at Del Mar, set a new track record going a mile at Del Mar, placed in the Grade 1 Goodwood, the Grade 2 Swaps Breeders' Cup Stakes, the Grade 3 Affirm. Was on the board in 13 of his 17 career starts, and he earned over $1,328,000. Albertus Maximus was a top-class, versatile runner, and he received a full book of merit in his first season at stud this year. Now booking for 2013. Stands at Shadwell Farm with the stallions De Hare, a Grade 1 stakes winner by Awesome Again, and the sire of a graded stakes winner in his very first small test crop. Graded stakes winner and graded stakes place Intadab, and his sire of graded stakes winners, as far as that goes. Horse of the World Invisor, Jazzle, winner of the classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes, and a multiple graded stakes winner, Moostenfar. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes, 224-4585. See the website, shadwellfarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FirstNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3 year olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at bristnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, in racing last weekend, the holiday weekend, Shanghai Bobby, a 2-year-old colt by Harlan's Holiday, won the Grade 1 Champagne at Belmont. Spring in the Air, a 2-year-old filly by Spring at Last, won the Grade 1 Alcibiades at Keenan. Some of the Parts, a 3-year-old filly by Sprightstown, won the Grade 3 Stall Keenan Ogden Phoenix Stakes at Keenan. Bridgetown, a 5-year-old horse by Sprightstown, won the Grade 3 Woodford Stakes at Keenan. Munning Sister, a 3-year-old filly by Sprightstown, won Belmont's Dream Supreme Stakes. And Spring Venture, a 2-year-old filly by Spring at Last, won the Grade 3 Mazarine Stakes at Woodbine. Harlan's Holiday is the sire of 12 2012 stakes winners and 4 graded, 1 grade 1. Spring at Last is the nation's number 1 ranked freshman sire. And Sprightstown, the nation's number 1 ranked sire by North American earnings. They all stand at Windstar Farm. For more information about the Windstar stallions, get in touch with Jerry Duffy or Leanna Packard, 873-1717, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. Were you through, Jackie? I guess you were. All righty. Well, okay. My friend David Schweitzer at the KTA likes us to announce the breeders of stakes winners from the previous weekend. And, of course, Wise Dan, who won the Grade 1 Shadwell Turf Mile out of Keenan, was bred by Morton Fink. In Lingerie won the Judmont Spinster Stakes out of Keenan. She was bred by Colts Neck Stables and, of course, was sired by Empire Maker. Running, let's see who we have here. Shanghai Bobby, winner of the Champagne Stakes out of Belmont Park, was sired by Harlan's Holiday and bred by Stonehaven Steadings. Harlan's Holiday stands at Windstar Farm, of course. Dreaming of Julia, winner of the Grade 1 Frisette at Belmont. It was bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. Keep right on going, Ursel. There's a bunch of them. Let's see. Tapestry, winner of the Grade 1 First Lady Stakes at Keenan, was bred by Frank L. Jones, Jr. Turn the pages here. Neck and Neck, winner of the Grade 2 Indiana Derby, was bred by A. Stevens Miles, Jr. Grace Hall, winner of the Indiana Oaks, Grade 2. Another Empire Maker, this one bred by Darley. The Stole Keenan Ogden Phoenix Stakes out at Keenan, won by Some of the Parts by Sprightstown, stands at Windstar, bred by Farfella Farms. The Bourbon Stakes Grade 3 at Keenan was won by Balance the Books, bred by Scott Hyder and Knowles Bloodstock. The Remington Green Stakes at Remington, of course, went to Lockout, bred by Columbiana Farms. The Mazarine Stakes, Grade 3 at Woodbine, Spring Venture. 2-year-old from the first crop by Spring at Last, bred by Stoneway Farm. Though Spring at Last ran 1-2 in that race, incidentally. It's a Grade 3 Stakes. The Avowal Stakes at Woodbine was won by Magic Broomstock. Bred by C.J. Hesse, sired by More Than Ready, who stands at Vinery. I got some more, and I'm still a-looking. The Charlie Palmer Futurity, $75,000, went to Fury Capcori, bred by Diamond A Racing, sired by Tiz Now. The Dover of Delaware, Vegas No Show won that, bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. The Flashy Lady Stakes at Remington, Burst of Life won that, bred by Green Hill Farm. The L.A. Woman Stakes at Santa Anita, Rumor, it's another Indian Charlie, this one bred by Stoneside Stable, Marula Stud Park, and Dr. Mrs. Walter Zant. That's Walter and June, by the way. And I think we've got one foreign stakes here somewhere. Yeah, maybe two, maybe three. Here we go. Oh, Lord, I didn't want to pronounce this, but I'll have to try. The Prix de Royale Group 2 in France. D'Alcala won that, bred by the Aga Khan. Raised over at Airdrie Stud, sired by Giant's Causeway. The Macquarie Group Ruse Stakes at Ascot went to Doc Hay, bred by Colt Neck Stables. And the several stakes at Newmarket went to Polygon, bred by Carwell Equities. I believe that does it. That's a bunch of them, though. A bunch of Grade 1 stakes. Well, Dreaming of Julia, a 2-year-old filly by A.P. Indy, won her debut by 10.5 lengths. Won her second start, the Meadow Star Stakes at Belmont, by 16.5 lengths. And she was 1-9 in last Saturday's Grade 1 Frisette. She won by Desperate Head after a race-long duel with My Happy Face. The 2-year-old filly from the first crop by Tears Wonderful. My Happy Face, bred by Spendthrift Farm and Shawhan Place, served notice that she was special in her previous start, breaking her maiden by 21.5 lengths at Saratoga. The co-feature at Belmont last Saturday was the Grade 1 Champagne, and Golden Sands, a 2-year-old colt from the first crop by Into Mischief, ran a solid second to Shanghai Bob, a colt by Harlan's Holiday, and Harlan's Holiday is the sire of Into Mischief. Into Mischief, a Grade 1 Stakes winner at 2. That same day, Risky Call, a 2-year-old colt from the first crop by Notional, won the Canadian Juvenile Stakes by 5.5 lengths, posting his fourth straight win. So, the first crop 2-year-olds by Tis Wonderful, by Into Mischief, and by Notional are running. Better book now for 2013. Just call Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, or Ned Toffey. Number is 294-0030. And see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
I'm heading down the highway, happy dear friend.
All righty. You know, a friend of mine, Jeff McKay, brought me in a couple of old American racing manuals. And I think the one that's got open over there, Jackie, I was just one day it was raining here and the track was muddy. And nobody was working anything, so I drug it out and started browsing through it, and I got through the old Walden Steaks in Maryland at Pimlico, and let's see, oh, here it is, yeah. And I was just running down through the old winters of the Walden Steaks, and there were some horses that kind of and I learned something. You know, if you look long enough, if anything, you're going to learn something, I guess. Some of it good. This is very trivial, but there you go. The 1930 winner was Mate, and Mate was raised stood right over at Clarkland Farm, incidentally. He went on to win the Preakness, which was run that year before the Derby. But running second was Sweep All, and third was 20 Grand. And 20 Grand, of course, won the Derby, and Sweep All ran second to him in the 1931 Derby. 20 Grand had to set a new track record to beat him. However, I did not know that Sweet Ball had ever finished in front of 20 Grand. Now, he was getting 20 pounds, but he finished in front of him. Sweet Ball was lovely horse by Sweep out of Nettie Hastings by Hastings. He was a half brother, incidentally, to Peter Hastings, who was the sire of Matahara. And he was Sweep All of it, was a decent racehorse. He won a race called Endurance Handicap, and as I said, he'd ran second in the Kentucky Derby. Wasn't a very big horse, he was a typical Sweep. Beautiful horse, though, very well balanced, very well made. Blood Bay with black points. Had a little star, and that was only white on him. And he was virtually a private stud over at Dixiana. And he was never bred, never got a whole lot of mares. Not many outside people bred to him. And I think he sired seven or eight stakes winners. And five of them were Kentucky bred by Dixiana, a full ride at Dixiana. Sirocco, who I mentioned earlier, went on and won the Walden Stakes as a two-year-old, beating Famar, who was also by Sweep All. They ran 1-2 in that race, and Sirocco went on and won the Arlington Classic the following year. Famar bowed a tendon and became a fox hunter. A fellow named George Gill down at Shelbyville used him as a fox hunter. He was another good-looking horse. Sweep All sired good-looking horses. Most of them were just like him, blood, medium-sized blood bays. Sirocco, in addition to winning the Wallen, won the Arlington Classic, beat Bimelec, and was a very nice racehorse. He ran in the Derby, ran fifth. It was just his second start of the year, and they'd wintered in Kentucky, so they had a hard time getting it ready. They started him at Keeneland, and at that time, they sprinted him going 6 furlongs, getting him ready, and one half of the starting gate didn't open in time, and he hit his head and ran third that day. But he came back and ran a really nice race in the Kentucky Derby. Sweep All was a sire, Bayview, who won the Santa Anita Handicap. Four Winds, who was a full sister to Sirocco, out of a mare named Miss Toro Batoro. And Four Winds won the Arlington Lassie, the Princess Doreen, and the Arlington Matron. She was a beautiful filly and went on to become a very good producer. Looked a whole lot like the rest of them, as I just described them. And she won those three stakes, and she was a bleeder. They had to space her races pretty good. Sired Super Wolf, who was out of a mare named Tootsie Cake by High Time, won the Illinois Owner's Handicap and the Chicago Tribune Charities Handicap. Big Flash won the Hollywood Derby and the Del Mar Handicap. And Betty Sweep won the Cincinnati Handicap. Star Border was also by Sweep All. He won the Washington Park Handicap and the Motor City Handicap. So Sirocco, Four Winds, Super Wolf, Betty Sweep and Star Border were all Dixiana breds. He was also the broodmare sire of Bersim, who was the champion sprinter in 1955. He was by Burnbar out of Little Pris by Sweep All, and he was a full brother to Resolved, and Resolved was a very good stakes winner himself, full brother. Another full brother was Larrikin. So the little Prius had three stakes winners all side by Burnborough. And she was she had brilliant speed. She didn't win stakes, but she was a good allowance winner. And she could kick a chew of tobacco out of your mouth at 20 paces. And I saw her run out of Keeneland one day, and that was when they let the crowds back in there. You know, they kind of thinned the crowds out now a little bit in that paddock. And this crowd was all gathered around her. My heart was in my mouth because I thought she's going to sure as hell kick somebody, but she didn't. She was on her good behavior that day. But she was an awfully fast filly. Ended up, she went blind, and they used to put a little bell on her foals, last couple of foals that she had, and so she'd know where they were and turn them out in a single paddock there. Lincoln Road was also out of a mare by Sweetball. He won the Jersey Derby after running second in the Kentucky Derby and the Florida Derby to Tim Tam, and also ran in the Preakness, those three races. And Vic Savinsky, who trained him, says, hell, I think I run him in a nine winners of two. So he was a nice little horse, went to stud out at Joe Metz, Mare's Nest Farm out on, what's the name of that road? Shannon Run Road. And that's where Lincoln Road, he never, you know, he was by, who the hell was he by? Lincoln. Oh, he was by With Pleasure, so that he did. Let's see, who else did he, with Broodmare Sire of Nashville, a Sweep, and Rambling Easy, and Waterway, Stormy Cloud, and Fire Sticky. Very nice. He was a nice kind of a horse, you know. Most of everything was Dixiana bred, so I got to know him pretty well. Now, let's see, I was going to do something on 20 grand, because we brought him into this subject, but I mentioned it. I didn't know that Sweetball had ever beaten him. 20 grand was quite a racehorse, but I don't think I have time to fool with it. Yeah, I remember, Jackie. There was even a brand of cigarettes named after him.
Well, and when I was a kid, there was this little rectangular box that wasn't more than an inch and a half high, and it had four or five little thoroughbred horses, teeny ones. And you'd roll the dice and you could move them forward as you want. 20 grand was one of them. I used to be able to rattle them all off.
Oh, little games? Yeah.
A little game. Yeah. That's forever and a day ago.
Yeah. He was by St. Germans, who was an imported horse. And he was a kind of a shy breeder himself, and he passed that on. 20 grand was absolutely sterile. You know, and I learned something about him, too, you know, looking things up. I always thought they tried to bring him back after his career virtually came to an end to run in the first Santa Anita handicap, first $100,000 stakes. And that didn't work out. And I thought, well, that was his last start. Well, it turns out they took him to England, and he ran twice in England. And that didn't work out either.
Oh.
So they brought him back to Greentree. And I guess they had to gild him because he was turned out with the old bunch of retirees out the gas house gang. He was with Jolly Roger and Easter Hero and that bunch, you know.
And, yeah. Well, my 20 grand came from Santa Claus.
Did it?
Yeah. I remember it well.
Yeah. I remember those cigarettes because my good friend Lou Terrell, it's a Jot 'em Down store, you know, where they're and that was founded back in the early 1930s. And when we were 8 or 9 years old, we snuck some cigarettes out of there and went down to the treehouse and smoked over 20 grand cigarettes.
You know. You were bad.
Yeah.
Did you ever smoke Catalpa cigars?
No, I never did. Tried corn silk, and that didn't work either.
Yeah.
But
the local boys up at camp in the summer tried that once and deathly ill.
All right, well, winners out of here this month, Juan Rubalcaba, Raquel Albright, Paul Garcia, Paul Brown, Matt Frazier again, Eduardo Caramori again, Jimmy Cargan, and Matt Frazier again, all saddle winners. and all those gentlemen trained right here at the Thoroughbred Center. And that's wrapping it up, Jackie. And
UrsulaEllisHorseTales.com for all the folks back in Ireland that want to hear our guest.
All righty. And we on at the regular time next week, and we'll see you next week.